Like your physical needs.
This feels, I feel so much better just having it.
Right,
you can do it. You've got your house.
Alrighty.
Do I need to put that on?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Okay.
Can hear everything.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it is, actually.
Alright, this is the November 7th interview with Ms. Shelley Ritter. Ms. Ritter, do we have your permission to record this interview?
Sure.
Right, thank you very much. I'd like to start out by asking you where you're from, where you grew up.
Kosciuszko.
And where is that?
Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you end up coming here to the Blues Museum?
The position was available, and so I applied and was selected.
And what was your experience before that?
I've always worked in museums since I finished school.
As a director?
No, this is my first time to be a director. I've worked in other capacities, administration capacities.
What were those museums, if you wouldn't mind?
Well, I set up the archive for Elvis Presley Enterprises, and then I was the field services curator for state museums.
You said you went to school. Where did you go to school?
Millsaps College.
Millsaps. When you were growing up, what were the demographics of the area? What was the white population versus the black population?
I don't really know.
The majority of black didn't seem to know.
I don't know. I would have to look that up.
Okay. Did you ever see...
We weren't really divided.
So it was fairly integrated.
Yeah, I went to public school the whole time, but, you know.
How were the race relations there?
Fine.
Goodness. Specifically with this museum, what's its role in the community, Clarksdale?
Well, we're part of the city of Clarksdale, and I think because we're approaching being 30 years old, I think, in my humble opinion, that we are really, you know, this one of the centers for culture of the community, and we're very much a part of the growth of the community because of the tourism industry.
What's the history of the museum?
We were founded in 1979 as part of the Carnegie Public Library and moved here and became a part of the city in 1999. And here is the renovated freight depot.
It's the problem with an audio recording.
Sorry.
Thank you. You mentioned the tourism here. What does the museum do for the Blues tourism? How does it commemorate the Blues? Sorry, that wasn't very clear. How does the museum approach the Blues? Because it is a Blues museum. How do you commemorate the Blues?
I don't know that we approach or commemorate the Blues. We honor the artists that created it. And we have programs and symposia, you know, to encourage, to give a venue for current musicians. But I think we honor rather than commemorate because it's a living, breathing part of the community,
the
museum and the music. So.
So you see the museum as part of that living blues tradition?
Yeah.
How does that compare to, say, what the Smithsonian Museum of Earth to with things that have been dead and gone a long time ago? In terms of...
Well, most of the Smithsonian Museums are history museums, aren't they?
So you don't... You do not perceive the Blues Museum to be a history kind of museum, more of a...
It's art.
Okay. So this is more in the nature of an art gallery.
I guess.
What's the role of education here in the museum?
Our gallery is open 7 days a week, 9 to 5, and 4 days a week from 3 to 5 we have music classes here in this room, which is the classroom, and we teach students to play the blues. And then we also have changing exhibitions, and when we change exhibitions, we sometimes have talks with the artist or special programs and interviews.
What age range are the students?
From the youngest we've had has been 4, and the oldest we've had, I think, is 58.
And the teachers are?
Local musicians.
And what is it, just how to play an instrument, or how to play in blues style, or?
They learn to play as a band, and everybody can play more than one instrument, and they switch off.
Is the emphasis on the group aspect, interactions, and group?
Yeah.
How?
Because it's not, you don't just come in, you might come here wanting to play the guitar, but you don't get to be the guitar, you know, showman. It's not you and your band, everyone is a band.
How do you get students? Do they come asking?
Yeah, they just enroll.
And the same with teachers?
Well, we hire the teachers, so.
Okay.
And usually, like if a musician is going on tour or has some gigs and is going to be out of town, they are pretty responsible in getting, you know, recommending someone who can teach while they're gone.
How many students do you have?
We have just under 150 enrolled.
How many teachers?
2 teachers and 3 assistant teachers. Excuse me, 2 assistant teachers. Somebody just went to college. We just lost one. And the assistants are graduates of our program.
How does the Blues Museum affect the living tradition of the blues?
I hope that we honor it and, you know, encourage it, sustain it in some way.
Is the role of the museum more of a passive or an active one within the blues community, if I can use that word?
I think we're active. I mean, we grow, we change exhibits, we do, you know.
Okay.
We're not a dusty old facility, I hope. And we have, you know, we have our stage out there where we have live performances, and it's used for festivals and things also.
So this is not only an honoring type of thing, but it's also a concert venue.
Outdoor, yeah.
What is your opinion of blues tourism?
I don't know. It's, you know, a viable component of our community and has been for some time, you know, over 30 years, which is why the library had the foresight to start the Blues Museum.
Would you... I forgot to ask, sorry. How does the museum work with blues tourism?
I don't know what you're defining as blues tourism, because we're a museum that's honoring, you know, tourists just come here.
Mm-hmm. I'm just using the word.
But they come here because of Morgan Freeman, they come here because of civil rights, some people come here for archaeological purposes. And the people that come here for the blues, the majority of them are individual travelers coming on their own.
was the relationship between the blues and the civil rights movement that you just mentioned?
I would think just struggles.
Coexisting and not, no dialogue between the two, or was there a relationship?
I don't think that's, I think you're trying to dissect stuff that's not really dissectable.
Okay. How would you approach it?
Approach?
Civil rights, blues, any relationship between them?
Well, they both deal with oppression and struggles. But blues is certainly, if you, when you categorize it as civil rights, that implies like the 50s and 60s to me. And this was going on, you know, post-Civil War. So,
okay.
Civil rights might be a part of the blues, you know, a phase of the blues tradition. Maybe. But I don't want to say civil rights is a phase either.
Yeah. Okay. How would you say that the museum has changed Clarksdale, or has it changed Clarksdale?
I don't know. It has. I think it has sustained Clarksdale by being a place that draws people from out of town, because, like, you know, we have 38 states and 20 plus foreign countries come through the museum almost every month. And while they're here, you know, they're going to do something else, hopefully, in the community, which gives revenue to the community.
What is the role of the community in the museum?
I don't think it has a role in the museum. I mean, we're part of the city, but we're just talking about or celebrating and honoring, you know, John Lee Hooker, Muddy Waters, Sam Cooke, all these folks came from Clarksdale, so.
Have those artists in the past and currently had a role in the museum in there?
No, the museum was started in 1979. And the artist I just mentioned didn't.
But any of the other artists who you do honor that are still alive today, do they interact with?
Oh, sure, yeah, they come by, talk about the museum, like to bring their bands through the museum. Check out our kids program.
What is the kids program? Is that
the music program?
Okay.
Some come back and, you know, we'll do a master class for us if they have time.
Are those open to the public or just to the students within the program?
The what?
The master classes.
It just depends on what the artist wants to do. Because you can fill one up with so many non-musicians that it sort of loses the point of being a master class.
Returning briefly to civil rights, the blues is obviously the crossroads and all the commemorative sites in Clarksdale, Museum, etc. The blues is obviously a very important part of Clarksdale. In your opinion, does that narrative take away space from commemorating the civil rights movement in the city?
I don't think so, but I'm not aware of a strong push to do things with the civil rights. Yeah, or just not yet recognized by the community that the role of its significance, maybe.
As director of the museum, how do you approach includes the music, the artists, from your personal perspective?
I don't know. I just try to keep the museum, like, you know, fresh things happening and things going on to attract more people.
Just two more questions. This is unrelated to a degree. What do you think of the Mississippi State flag?
I don't know. I was hoping we would get a new one, but I don't. It doesn't have any real significance to me, but it disturbs me that it might make some other citizens uncomfortable. You know, I didn't serve in the military. I see the flag, but it doesn't raise any, it neither pride nor passion or, you know, it's just, oh, that's the state flag. The state tree is the magnolia, and the state bird is the mockingbird.
Yeah. It's kind of bare bone facts.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Especially with the recent election of President-elect Obama, how do you see politics within the blues as a genre and the museum specifically?
It shouldn't have a role, but unfortunately, it does, and that's where I think lots of conflicts arise.
What role do politics
play? Just sort of a weird one. Being part of the city, you know, you can't escape.
What would you prefer?
In terms of
political involvement?
Oh, I would like to see us reach us, you know, have a nice endowment that we just sustained ourselves and worked with the city because we're in a city building and did things for the city, but just, you know, didn't necessarily have to worry about whims.
On a more national scale?
I don't think we're on the national radar, so. But I'm excited about what's, you know, 2009 will bring. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything that I missed to ask you?
I have a question. How does the Blues Museum work? Like, where do you get your money? Who appoints you? How does the whole thing work?
We have a dedicated tax millage from the city in their budget, and part of that money, about 50% of that millage, goes to pay off the cost of renovation of our facility, and then the other part goes into our operating budget, and then what we get in admissions to the museum and what we sell in the, you know, store and door supplement that, and then people are mistaken that we operate on grants. We get grants to do certain programs or bring in certain exhibits, and if we don't get those funds, then we don't do, you know, we're not overextending on our budget, but in order to do something extra, we've got to get supplemental funding.
Who does the employment?
We have a board that hires the staff.
And in terms of the, for example, your collection, you have guitars and pictures. Do people donate it? Do you buy it? Or how do you get all this?
People donate things to the museum. The things on the perimeter walls are traveling exhibitions that we brought in, either because we've solicited or people have, you know, offered to share their work with us. But because we started in the library, the library, it wasn't a very large room, and the first exhibits this librarians put back in their trunks and drove home every day. And then, you know, it's a library, so they collected lots of records and books and things. And then we moved here and didn't have the visual collection that we do now. And that's one of the things that I've done since I've been here, gotten the costumes that you see from the performers and other things like that.
And what's the, let's say, the future plan for the museum? Are you planning to extend, or are you planning to
remain? I'm actually almost a year into planning for, it was a 4,000 square foot expansion, and we've just added some more square footage, and I'm beginning those plans next month. So, but it will go out towards Ground Zero and Delta Avenue, and we'll cross over the concrete platform, and then we'll build another facility. And I know that the Muddy Waters Cabin is going in that facility, and we're developing conceptual themes for the exhibits, because we'll totally redo the exhibitions.
Anything else that we haven't asked that you would like to talk about?
I don't know. What is your what is your thesis for this project? And maybe I could add something to that.
We don't really have one as yet, do we?
We just basically want to know what the role of the blues and the civil rights was.
Okay.
The role of blues within the past like 50 years or so. It's, you know, transition into modern, mm-hmm. Modern blues. But I think you've pretty much answered.
Okay, because, you know, you got into, like, entendre in the older blues songs before people had rights, but... I'm sure they're out there, but I don't know what blues artists specifically mm-hmm. recorded a blues song for the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of a million folk songs, but...
Maybe not directly, but indirectly. Maybe it reflected some of the, what you said, you know, struggle. Maybe it reflected some
mm-hmm.
of the struggle that people face because of segregation, because of civil rights. Violations.
Well, around that time, if I have my history correct, Muddy Waters left in the 40s and went to Chicago, and I don't think it was the late 50s, early 60s. See, the Bob Dylan, when he went from acoustic to electric, Like a Rolling Stone is based on a Muddy Waters song. The Rolling Stones, British group, named themselves for that Muddy Waters song, and the Rolling Stone magazine took its name from that as well. But the blues didn't have an American popularity until the British invasion sort of embraced it. I mean, it kind of did a little bit with Elvis, but, you know, mm-hmm. he wasn't going out there saying, I'm about to sing Big Mama Thornton's Hound Dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Interesting. That's it?
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I hope that was helpful.
It was. Thank you.
It was. Thank you.
If you want to email me, I might think of something.